Jackal Monkey, sir, how are you?
I'm doing fucking fantastic.
This is the shortest fucking intro ever. That F-bomb remind me, yes, this is 18 and over. Over.
Warning.
See what I did there? Warning. I know. Warning. Following podcast is intended for mature audiences only. Why are we hosting this anyway? Thank you, guys. Scurry Face presents Night Living Dread. Scurry Face over there, known to most people on the internet as a haunt actors, collective, which is actually what they really are. But there is a difference what we're doing here, and that's Scurry Face Media. You see what I did there?
I enunciated
shit. Right. And so that doesn't mean all haunt acting, content.
Not all.
And that's what we're not, haunt actors. I mean, we love you guys, but we are not those.
Next year, anyway.
Maybe. Yeah,
I will be.
Quite possibly. Yes. As you all know, hopefully, Night of the Living Dreads, dreadswithnoa.com is where you can check out all of our shows. This one is, all the audio versions of it. That's right down there, right below us, nightlivingdreads.com. And you can also check out the YouTube page. Still don't have a fucking 100 people yet, man. So I don't have the cool little,
YouTube.
So close. NLD. Whatever.
Yeah, that'd be nifty. Come on.
It would be fucking nifty, wouldn't it?
Tell your friends. Tell them I'll give them a dollar.
There you go. Jackal Monkey will give every damn one of you guys a dollar. Get a hold of them on Facebook, man. Hit them up. He'll give you a dollar for everyone that donates. You might be out some cash there, man. You only need about 40-some,
Yeah,
You got that much cash laying around? You balling?
Probably.
All right. Have you said probably? You don't know. Right. We'll leave that. We'll leave that horse to sleep there. A couple weeks ago, actually, when we first started talking about really getting into indie horror and really paying attention to that, because one thing we all know is that commercial horror and Hollywood horror isn't really cutting it right now. There's not a lot of fresh ideas going out there. You see that regurgitating.
It's rehashes of the same shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one thing. Welcome, Slugger. That's one thing that is, something that, is that propelled us into this indie horror, fucking focus here. And that's what we're going to do. And when we started that, we played a trailer, which I would like to play right now. I haven't played it yet, have I, on this show? I play it a lot. I played it probably like 3 times, I believe. Have I played this one yet?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Well, we're going to find out.
Not today.
Not today.
Not today.
I haven't done it today. Well, I'll wait till we get our guest who stars in it. And that trailer I'm talking about, The House That Eats Flesh, this trailer it screams fuck yes to me. Let's just bring in Lydia Manson, who is, is a part of that. How are you, Lydia? Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, well, don't put on that. We've talked for quite some time.
All right, then time. I am not excited to be here. I'm done already. So mad I brushed my hair for this.
I know, right? You don't get all dolled up for us.
No, I put on eyeshadow and everything.
I know. We sat here and
watched me.
I know. We did while we smoked weed. We are a 420 friendly show. Thank you though. I'm telling you, I am not bullshitting. You can ask Jacko Monkey. When he showed it to me, actually before we aired it, when he showed me that, I was like, oh my God. I mean, part of it screamed Firefly family.
Right.
You know?
Like, oh my God. No, that's such a huge comment. Cause I'm
it really, you've never heard that before.
No, that's the first time I got that one.
Oh my God. It screamed that to me. And I love the, trailer. I love how it was done. It did really. All right, let's just.
I know your favorite part is totally me looking up like this.
It is. I know with the blood. with this.
My
look
signature
here.
Look. Oh that yeah, one. It's my signature look.
All right.
I should cover myself in blood for this.
I know you should have. Why it's like you don't have hero syrup just laying around, huh?
Oh no, I have fake blood all over my house.
Oh my God! Well, yeah.
Give fake. Me a minute; I can find some.
Fake, yeah, I get it. All right.
Yeah, when the trailer dropped, that's what I was telling Josh. I was like, "Man, you have set the bar for indie horror with this one, man." Like, I was like, "Dude, this looks fucking amazing."
Let's take a look at this trailer for those in the chat room who haven't seen it. Let's take a look at the house that eats flesh.
We are all killers, aren't we?
Is it our nature to kill?
We
kill
animals.
We
kill
nature.
We
kill
each other.
We
his blood runs through these walls of his house.
As a little girl, I didn't believe such nonsense, but eventually, I believed.
My, someone here has a very dirty mouth. Someone might be careful, might get that tongue cut out, little girl.
Was it just as good the fourth time?
It's good every damn time. I love that. Whoa! What a dirty little mouth.
I've watched
like,
it so
it's
many
like
times.
The character development's already happened in the trailer. You know, it has grabbed me. A trailer has grabbed me that much, and I've had trailers that have grabbed me before in the past. And you go and you see the movie and it's like, all right, the trailer was the whole fucking movie.
No, there's going to be a lot of great kills.
It looks like it. Besides that, Lydia, introduce yourself to everybody. Tell everybody, you know, how'd you get into, acting? What was, going to all the redundant bullshit, when you first big, what's your favorite color? Redundant. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
My favorite color is orange, and of course I like you.
That'd be a yes.
Super big eggs. So I actually, growing up, I didn't want to be an actress. I didn't want to get into all this. I actually started acting on a whim just about a little over a year ago. The House Feeds Flesh was actually the first project I had been casted in. a friend I had at the time who was in the film. Josh Graves, our director, had posted that he was looking to fill just a few extra female roles. And I was like, hey, do you think I should, you know, do this just to support her at the time?
Tom Gebhardt, I've seen him pop your shows. You're going to call Lydia Manson.
Yeah, Tom got me good the other night. We can talk about him in a minute. But as far as House That Eats Flesh goes, when I did decide to actually audition, Josh told me, he was like, oh, you know, just send me a monologue and we can do that for your audition video. And I am quite the perfectionist. So I stayed up like all night just deciding like, what am I going to audition? Like, what do you audition for a horror movie? What monologue do you pick? Like, right. How do you, that would be your whole monologue. Oh, this is going to be me fake dying right now, you know?
Good job, by the way.
That was not my real script. But
okay, go ahead.
So what I did was, because I just could not find a monologue that like spoke out to me, so I just decided to go ahead and just write my own. So went to a cemetery, drank blood from a goblet, and decided to be covered in blood and just run through said cemetery while doing my monologue. And Josh was like, yes, I want you for my film. So I got cast in The House That Eats Flesh. I started off with a very small role. Eventually someone else, somebody actually ended up leaving the film. So I was able to get a little bit bigger part. Josh saw that I was working hard on the film and he made me an associate producer on the film. Mm. Then the producer that we had at the time ended up leaving the film. So bad news for them, but good news for me. And Josh actually promoted me to full-on producer for the film. So I got to be the full-on producer for The House That Eats Flesh, and I end up playing Luna in the film. So you get to see me going like this in the trailer. And those are actually my hands on the Ouija board.
Awesome.
As well.
So, I mean, you said that was your first, like, real...
That was the first thing I was cast in, but it would actually... It turned... Just because it was the first thing I was cast in, it actually ended up being the fourth thing that I filmed this year.
And that's what I was getting at. How awesome is that? Somebody, a young lady like yourself who didn't even want to get into acting. What did you want to do outside of, I mean, what was your goal there?
You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a pediatrician. I actually had started college pre-med. Realized I really did not like biology.
Or kids.
Yeah, I mean, I like my own, but outside of that... Not so much.
I know, right? I know it. I know.
Yeah. Dream crushers. Yeah.
Sorry.
So I did not continue on with pre-med. I actually have a degree in criminal justice. So I ended up working in a men's prison for 8 years.
Oh, wow, man.
But then whenever I say, when I actually worked in the prison and I would say, oh yeah, I work at this prison. They'd be like, oh, what are you, a secretary? And I'm like, no, I'm a corrections officer. Like, I actually.
Well, there you go. Slippy Evan Slurker.
Any tips? Don't do it. It's a trap. No. I will say my biggest tip would be you have to have very thick skin. It's a very toxic industry. I struggle with depression very severely, very bad anxiety. And I do have, you know, PTSD from working in the prison and injuries I did face towards the end of my career. And all of that over this past year has been compounded like so much dealing with just the toxic people in this industry. Like, I understand there's bad people in every walk of work and way, but in this industry, people literally will just like knock you down to get that part. And people will just like spread rumors about you for no reason other than they see you're doing good. And they need to stop that because they need to do better.
Yeah. Because it makes them look absolutely bad. Right. Yeah. Do you find that because, you know, I mean, you're working in, you know, basically the, you know, independent film industry. Do you find that happening a lot? Because you would think that it seems like it's very close knit.
It is. Like I'm sure once you start like paying attention to it, you will see like a lot of the same group of actors you will always see working together same directors, because once you find a good group that you're working with, you want to stay working with that group because they're like, I've only had issues on one set so far. And I think I've been on 9 this year, been on 9 different sets and only had issues on one set, which I mean, statistically speaking, was actually very good on my part.
I was going to say that that's not bad. And then, you know, you have to factor in, see me, you know, I'm good with certain people.
Yeah.
And I have my own issues as well. Those that have tuned into this podcast know I've talked about my mental health and I will rage at a minute sometimes. And, I can be hard to play with, you know.
And those issues that I faced on that set, like I realized I wasn't the problem, but I did learn from that experience. Oh, and I knocked over my Funko. Stay boy. Stay. I mean, he can go from zero to hero just like that.
But, zero to hero, baby.
Well, it was Hercules. Hercules.
Oh, it looked like Chucky.
Oh, no, it's Hercules. I would love a Chucky Funko Pop. The experience I learned on that set, you know, I'm going to just continue to take with me from the next couple of sets and just realize, you know, maybe I am too outgoing on set and I give too much to people. So I think I'm just going to take back a little bit to myself on the next few sets and kind of keep to myself, you know, because maybe I'm just giving a little too much. So, but any tips, other tips is, you know, just a lot of it was, like I said, I've only been doing this for just about a year. My biggest thing has been social media. I'll tell you right now, anything that I have auditioned for, I have not gotten. Every part that I have is people that have reached out to me based on like either I have the particular look that they're going for or they really like my personality that they've seen through my lives, my podcast, or my interactions through other things. So it's really just getting everything is about who you know, unfortunately. It really is.
Thomas, one of our, frequent viewers here, listeners, I think everyone wants a nice, close-knit group, but wants to grow, which means you have to eventually move on without your comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't gotten to work with the same group of people a second time yet. All of mine have been vastly different all over the spectrum. So, I mean, I've been in numerous different states now. I've been all over the effing place this past year.
You can say fucking.
I know, as soon as I get, I was like, man, why am I fucking censoring
myself? Oh, say why am I fucking
censoring effing? I see the backstage. I don't have backstage. Everything that I've gotten has strictly been through social media. I will tell you, indies don't pay well. So, I mean, like, if you're looking to make this a career to actually support yourself on, I highly recommend not to.
It's really about experience. At this point. Yeah.
And like I've been filming all year and not one thing has come out yet. I think that's the most frustrating part, you know. I just want something to come out because I'm like, everybody keeps going, oh, you're such a great actress. You're such a great actress. And I'm like, oh, really? How do you know?
Right. I mean, what have you seen?
I was like, you're just blowing smoke up my ass. What are you trying to get?
Who sent you? You know, we almost forgot, man, we were diving so deep into, everything that you've done. We forgot about a couple fluffer articles and what
is it? What type of show did you get me on this?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. For those who don't know, Miss Lydia, I'm sure they know now. Miss Lydia Manson does a show yourself, right? And just the deets.
Just the deets.
Misty. I'm not even sure what that means. I see a lot of Beetlejuice coloring going on.
That's what I was going for. So Lydia, Just the Deeds, All Things Strange and Unusual with Lydia Manson. So I was going for a play off my name. Yeah. So that's what I went with. And I didn't want
Lydia when Deeds.
Yes. So when I started my podcast, I didn't want to pigeonhole myself into having to only talk about horror or only having to talk about movies or only having to talk about this, only having to talk about that. I wanted to be able to have a wide range of topics so that I could just talk about whatever the fuck I wanted, whenever the fuck I wanted. So I'm like, okay, if I have a show that is about the strange and unusual, well, it's my fucking interpretation of whatever is strange and unusual. So every week I come on and I talk about whatever I want. I can have on whoever I want. You know, so
hell yeah,
except for the few rules that I have for who I work for, you know, like, because obviously I want to keep my job, but you know, other than that, you know, it's my podcast. It's my views on things. It's my, you know, and I, you know, I got to talk about Mike the Headless Chicken for about 35 minutes and that was very fun. And I mean, granted, I knew almost all of those facts by heart before I did additional research on Mike the Headless Chicken, because I have been a huge fan of his for years. But other things, I did not know anything about the New Jersey Devil. So I'm just learning fun stuff every week.
Every week. And then you get to talk about it to, you know, with everyone.
To the four or five people that watch.
All five of them are rich in knowledge after I literally, if you guys don't believe me, I literally
took notes on my podcast. Like, how cool
that's it right there, right? Look.
There you go. In ancient Greece and Rome that they used spider webs for bandages.
Yes.
We learned that on my podcast last week.
That's right.
Because they have antiseptic properties.
When can people learn these things? And
every Thursday night at 9 p.m. live stream from my Facebook and Hellfire Radio's Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube channels.
Oh, the place. I thought you meant
Twitch.
That's later.
I had no idea where I was going with that when you called me off guard.
Did I make Otis speechless?
Yeah, you kind of fucking did. Thanks. but watching watching your last show, you were doing a lot of amazing, different, you know, fun, weird facts, which I thought was lighthearted. It was a good listen, and I encourage everyone to go check it out. It got me thinking that, you know, we used to do you know, something called fluffer articles, which a lot of people who have, you know, seen this, you know, before knows what that entails. And no, you don't have to contact an agent for this or lawyers or anything, I promise. but just some articles to get us going. Here's one right here. Man claimed, quote unquote, big snake invited him to enter a neighbor's home at 2 a.m.
This happened in Louisiana. Not Leviosa.
In Louisiana, don't they have a lot of snakes down there, I guess, in the bayou, right?
Does he speak parcel?
Brown ants.
I think he speaks parcel tongue.
Apparently that guy does.
He has to. Is his name Harry? Please tell me his name is Harry. It would make this article so much better.
No, we are close. It's Jesse. Jesse and Harry. I mean, they both rhyme. His first and last name rhyme with Harry, but it is not. Apparently, one day, he allegedly tried entering his neighbor's apartment at 2 a.m., explained to police that a big snake told him to open the victim's door and go inside.
So, would he have not listened to it if it was a little snake?
Maybe the size of the snake was a little, you know, over, you know, a little intimidating.
It's not a snake. Is that what he's saying? So it depends on the size of the snake. It's not the motion of the snake.
Oh, I see what you did there. It's not the motion of the sliver. It's the size of the snake.
God damn.
right, on a related note, Jesse Terry, 52 years old, also reportedly told arresting officers that he smoked crack within the last hour. So that may have something to do with this large snake.
I don't think it had anything to do with
nothing
it.
Nothing to do with it at all.
I think that he was not.
Totally unrelated incident.
Completely different. I think he speaks parcel tongue. He finally is accepting it. And nobody believed him.
So I'm good with that one.
You know, I think it's sad when we readily accept smoking crack over speaking parcel tongue.
All right.
Yeah, I do.
During police questioning.
I tried to keep a straight face. I couldn't.
And just so everybody knows that, you know, I haven't even read these two articles, and I have not passed these links off to
Lydia Harry Potter. I'm sorry.
I know, right? You
and
are.
And they're doing the 23 reunion special. Okay.
You were hoping that his name was Harry and his last name was Potter. It's not. His last name's Terry. So it could be Terry Potter.
He could have been Terry Pothead.
Terry Pothead. During questioning, though, Terry, who lives near the victim's residence, reportedly spoke of his recent crack use and how he was told to open the woman's door and enter her home by a big snake.
Did he give the snake a name?
He did not, but the reptile in question is not further described in the arrest affidavit.
I thought it was going to say it was not giving up any further answers.
His next name would have been Harry, right? I mean, he kind of fucking should have, right? Terry was booked.
You're a crackhead, Terry.
No crackhead snake.
And in further news, the snake was let go without further questioning.
I know.
He will be called back at a later date. He was released without bail.
Snake was released on an OR. Terry, on the other hand.
I can't be letting you any further.
Unlike the snake, Terry was booked into a local jail for unauthorized entry in an inhabited dwelling, a felony and disturbing the peace, misdemeanor. The affidavit notes that Terry was had a lengthy criminal history. So, poor Terry.
If he would have just
back in the slammer, he goes.
None of this would have happened.
I know, if you just, don't talk to snakes. Apparently, the motherfucker never listened to, the Bibles and shit like that.
Obviously, we have not learned our lessons from he who shall not be named.
Ah, yes, exactly. And he who shall not be named probably works at, or probably doesn't work at Waffle House. Well, I think that Terry, Mr. Jesse Terry, visited this Waffle House in Tennessee, but
Otis, you're the only 10 I see right now. I did have messed up the heart.
a Tennessee cook, 31, arrested for standing at the grill. What does that mean? What would that possibly mean? Why would you be arrested while standing at a grill? Huh. You know why? Because apparently a side of meth was served at a Waffle House. Yeah, I'll take some hash browns. Gonna get them covered, smothered, and tweaked.
So when ordering, do you say, do the snozzberries taste like snozzberries?
Did you?
And how much is a side order of meth? Is it sprinkled on, or do you get a little baggie?
Are they going to cook it a little bit?
Is it in an English muffin?
Is it cooked right there?
I have so many questions. Do they give you the spoon? Right? Is it already bent? I don't know.
I'm hoping, Lydia, that I can maybe answer some of these questions, but two of America's most beloved brands, that being Waffle House and methamphetamine, are at the center of today's story. Investigators allege that Anthony James Silcox, A 31-year-old cook sold meth from a Waffle House in Caryville, just outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. 30 miles, to be exact. Cops search warrant in hand, raided the Waffle House. Can you imagine that? You're waiting for your fucking food, and here comes, you know, the SWAT team looking for meth. I mean...
Well, if you were, definitely were tweaking out then.
I know, right?
Could you imagine? You're just sitting there. Maybe you had half of a brownie and you were just trying to enjoy some smothered. And then all of a sudden the fucking SWAT team comes in and you're just like, man, why did somebody have to get some fucking snozzberries right now and ruin my fucking high?
Right.
It's
really fucking rude. The search warrant raid at the Waffle House, they arrested Silcox, and I got a picture of this fucking guy. Hold on. Here's a picture of Wilcox.
He looks like he can sell meth, right?
He looks like he'd probably get good meth, actually.
My question is,
and I know you got so many.
There has to be a rat, and I don't mean, you know, I don't mean Mickey right now. I mean somebody had to rat him out, because how did the SWAT team know?
Was a search warrant, yes. So somebody had to have ratted him out.
Yeah. They planned this. They planned this.
They set him up. A search.
So Anthony, he's not picking very good customers.
No. If
you can't trust the people you're selling meth to, then you can't trust anybody.
A search of Anthony yielded 3.3 grams right. of a crystal-like substance believed to be meth, as well as drug paraphernalia.
But I mean, can he just say it's work utensils?
Yeah, I mean, he does work at Waffle House.
He was selling it, you know.
So there I was, just out of up a some Waffle batter, House. And they said it was drug paraphernalia, and I said, "Bro, I'm just mixing up some batter. I needed a spoon." God damn. And this is when they instantly regretted having me on their show.
No, this is when we instantly are like, yes!
No, never. This is fucking great.
The cops reported stating that he was just trying to make a living, just like you were saying, Lydia.
Working 9 to 5.
Oh, what a way to make a living.
Selling meth to him.
And was currently residing in his Ford F-150 truck.
He had a Ford F-150?
Yeah, and he was just sleeping in it at random motels selling meth while he was working out of a Waffle House.
He must not have been doing a good job.
He was charged with sale and delivery of meth, a felony, and possession of drug paraphernalia, a misdemeanor. So Cox is locked up in the Campbell County Jail.
I hope he gets some soup.
Oh, get you some soup, young man.
Campbell's soup. Do you think they sponsored the jail?
I don't know, but it's good. So that was our fluffer. I thought that worked out quite well.
Yeah, man, okay.
Definitely my best experience with fluffers.
It was. We got about 20 or so minutes left. Let's talk about some of your other projects other than the house that eats flesh. That's the one that we've been toting a lot here on the show.
Totes my goats, my friends.
Tote the goat. All right. Talk to us.
So actually, just about a week and a half ago, I was in Dallas, Texas, filming The Passages of Nexus. Where I get to play a character named Karen, and the irony does not escape me.
You're a Karen?
I'm a Karen. So that film is actually about If I was
I want to speak to your agent.
I was going, I don't have an agent, I represent I was going to change her name, but then the irony was just too much. And I was like, no, let's leave it. So I was like, let's leave it. But I get to play the wife of a serial killer who actually goes after e-girls and internet girls. So
interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
There's some pretty awesome kills in that movie. So
speaking of awesome kills, this just came in. When can we expect to see The House That Eats Flesh?
So right now, as it stands, The House That Eats Flesh is going to be a 3-part anthology. So the trailer that you showed is actually the first trailers of the first part, which is Thanksgiving. Because so the first part is about a group of friends who are together to celebrate Thanksgiving.
I'm super intrigued.
And they're actually staying at the house. So we find out that the house is built on the gates of hell. And the woman caring for the house is actually Lisa Wilcox from Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5. And she's actually the mother to Baghead. So that is going to be the first part. So they are filming the second part in 2 weeks. So that's
now. Are you scheduled to be in all 3 parts? I mean,
no, wait, I'm just in the first part.
You're just in the first one.
Yes.
Can you give us? I mean, I know I was like, all right, let's talk about your other shit, but here we go. House That Eats Flesh, because I don't think we spent enough time on it. We got enough time. Can you give us a little synopsis of the story here without giving away too much? I know you're obligated through, you know,
the first part.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just did. That was the best synopsis I can give without giving too much away. So it's just a group of friends. So they're friends from high school, and now it's, you know, 10, 15 years later. Mm. They're on their own. They decide to rent this house together up in the woods in North Carolina. And they haven't seen each other in over a decade. So this is the first time they're all getting together again. So, you know, you see them a little bit before dinner, a little bit after dinner, and then all of a sudden you start noticing one by one they're going missing. But yes. So, and then, as I said, you know, we find out that there's just something that just feels off about this house. They felt it ever since they walked through the door.
Because the skunk bitch eats flesh.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be very bloody. If you know, if you love boobs, blood, guts, and gore, this is going to be one for you. And who doesn't love that?
One thing.
I mean,
I made friends with the people from Troma. So that's, I just kind of like stole their tagline from them when I was hanging out with them at conventions, because they were like, oh yeah, you know, you can set up with us and promote your movie. So people would be looking at the Troma movies and I'd be like, oh, you know, if you love blood, boobs, guts, and gore, you're going to love The House That Eats Flesh.
Tom there must be reading my mind.
Oh yeah, Tom.
So here we go. Here's some Ghostbusters right there.
Who doesn't love Ghostbusters?
Big Ghostbusters fan. We'll be right back.
That's going to be some cool shit there. When
no, that's going to be super awesome.
That's,
so we start
pre-production
filming
right now, right?
So we're going to start filming that in May, and we actually get to film in Ladder 8 in New York City. So, like, talk about, like, childhood nostalgia right there. Like,
oh,
that's going to be amazing. Yes. So
that's
one of the cartoon Ghostbusters to life. So I get to bring Kylie Griffin to life, who is, she, you know, she's gothic. She's into the paranormal. So those who know, you know, a little bit about the cartoon Ghostbusters will know who I'm talking about when I say Kylie Griffin. Mm-hmm. So I get to bring that character to life as a Ghostbuster.
Extreme Ghostbusters. And
yes. So that is the character I will get to play in the web series, Ghostbusters Hell Fury. So in the comments, we have Mike Walker, who is actually the director for the web series, and then Todd Gebhardt, who is actually the assistant director for that. So super excited to work with both of them. So we're going to be filming that in May.
That is so awesome, especially to be in that firehouse.
I know. I'm just going to be like,
Yeah, that's
I know, right? I mean, how can you even work properly knowing that you're in the same place, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, running around in 1984?
Mm-hmm. Well,
were you even alive in 84? I think he's still there.
Oh, no, I was born in 88. All right. But, I actually had made friends with Bill Diamond over the summer. So Bill Diamond, for those who don't know, he's actually, him and Jim Henson had created the Muppets. So, you know, I got to work at Bill Diamond's studios over the summer. So when he was giving me, he was giving me a tour of his studio, and I'm just like in awe, just walking around like everything. And I got to touch. Oh my God, it was amazing. I got to touch the clock from Back to the Future. Yes.
Oh shit.
Yes.
One That's of my so favorite better. Movies growing up.
And then he had the motorcycle from Spawn, and I was like, can I sit on it? And he was like, no. And I was like, well, this is a terrible tour.
I know, this sucks. Did he let you? No, he still didn't. You just had to tell him how horrible the tour was.
I did.
Still wouldn't let you.
But then I got to, so I do a bunch of different cosplays. And one of the cosplays I have done is Bride of Frankenstein. Now, Bill has like a bunch of props from the original films. So I had given him an 8x10 of one of my photos of me as Bride of Frankenstein. I had signed it or whatever. So we were all hanging up in his office because we had just got done filming, and I'm looking around and he's got all these signed 8x10s on his wall from all these actors and actresses from all over the years and stuff. And I'm just like, hey, Bill, I was like, where's my picture? He's like, oh, it's on my desk with the rest of the ones I had to put up. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm your favorite now, so it should be on the wall.
I know, man.
And he's like, well, it's on the top of the pile. And I was like, yeah, but it's still not on the wall. So I was like, I'm just going to need you to work on that before I come back.
Yeah. I mean, let's take care of this. We have some priorities here to work out before I re-enter this fucking room.
But it was too, I mean, just being like, he had like, I think the original Big Bird there. And I was just like, I took a selfie with it and I was like, ah, it's Big Bird. But so that was super awesome. And Bill told me, he was like, oh, you can come back anytime you want. And I'm like, don't tell me that. I was like, because you're going to have a sign on the front door with my right. face, and it's going to have like a big X through it. And it's going to be like, do not let Lydia on this property.
Well, you know, in response, Lydia, to how you could control yourself.
I did control myself.
Because you are you're a professional. You can hold that giddiness down until you're offset and you can let it go. And
Didn't even ask Lisa Wilcox for a selfie with her.
Really?
And I filmed with her. I didn't even ask her for a selfie. I did, however.
That takes some restraint. I don't know if I could have done that.
I did, however, pretend to take a selfie of myself and get her in the background and go.
Oh, like she photobombed.
So technically I have a picture with her.
She just don't know it. So that's almost stalker level.
Almost.
Okay, okay.
But it's my fucking awesome. My director, when Lisa got on set, he was just like, Lydia, you know, like, I want you to kind of just hang out with Lisa, make sure everything is taken care of and stuff. So, like, you know, of course, everybody, like, immediately when she got there was coming up to her and was just like, oh, Lisa, can I get a picture? And I'm just like, hey, why don't we just, like, not do this right now? Like, she's been here for, like, 25 minutes. Maybe we can give
right.
her some space. You know, and she was like, oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. And I said, yeah, I'm like, but you've only been here for a few minutes. Like, why? I'm like, I just rather like everybody give you some space. And she's like, well, I really appreciate that. She's like, but I'm, you know, she was like, I'm used to that. And I'm like, well, whatever is good for you. And then at that point, I didn't want to be like, well, can I get a picture? So I just kind of like everybody else get their
picture. Oh, yeah.
And then I just kind of felt like the jackass that was the only person that didn't get a picture with her on set. But she Aww. Did give me her cell phone to take photos, like behind the scenes photos for her while she was filming. Now, apparently, I misunderstood the assignment.
You stole her phone?
I didn't steal her phone. I did, however, apparently she only wanted like a few. I took like 50 or so. And I was you like, oh, I got, I was like, I got, storage. I was like, don't worry, Lisa, I got a bunch. There's a ton on there. And she was like, I only needed like 4 or 5. And I was like, oh.
You're going to need 3 or 4 or 5 photo albums for this.
I was like, well, I was like, don't
back
worry.
Back up hard drive.
I was like, I got you covered from every angle.
You're
good. And I was like, and there's video. So in case you're wondering, you're good.
And by the way, you're going to need to charge your phone.
Yeah, hell yeah. Shit.
I was like, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I will just fire myself.
I will see myself out of this predicament right now.
But I
charge your phone.
I actually get to work with Lisa on an upcoming project again.
I bet you she don't make that mistake again.
No, I don't. She's probably not even going to remember me. I'm just, you know what? I'm going to introduce myself as a new actress and just. You know, I'm going to just start over.
You're going to play it all because you're not the cell phone girl.
No, that's not me.
No, that was somebody.
I don't even know who Lydia Manson is. Nope.
I mean, look, you know, it's a horror film. How many girls with black hair do we see in horror films? Come on. They're a dime a dozen. Come on.
Oh, my God. There's so many goddesses out there. You must have me confused.
Yeah.
Are you trying to say we all look alike, Lisa?
I know. I mean, how?
But she honestly, she laughed about it. She was like, no, I really didn't need that many. And I'm, you know, like we joked about it. I was like, I was really sorry. I'm like, I just thought I was being like, yeah. I'm like, you were good. You're good. Yeah. But it would be awesome if she remembered me when we go to the next film. I doubt it, but that, I mean, I would feel pretty special.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. Shit.
We'll see.
Here we go. Let's see. On behalf of Ghostbusters Healthcare, Walker Factor Productions, the director Mike Walker, and the entire cast and crew, myself included, from the bottom of our dreads, for sharing and discussing the project and having such a wonderful guest, Lydia Manson, on the show. We will definitely share and be back. Hope we can come back on and discuss it in the future. And absolutely, you're very welcome. You know, Night of the Living Dreads, we had a little hiatus there for a couple months, and we decided in that couple months to take and switch focus to indie horror, because that's where all the original ideas are coming from. You're not seeing this, in Hollywood. It's regurgitated. It's like, hey, let's make a remake of a reboot, and then we'll reboot the remake of the remake.
Let's see how many times
Five we times.
Can not kill Michael.
Well, I mean, right. Evil dies.
Yeah. And,
God damn it.
And that's my favorite, you know, and you know, just all right, put an end to it. You know, I'm a huge Michael Myers fan. You know, I love that one.
If I hear Evil Dies Tonight one more fucking time.
Evil Dies Tonight.
Evil dies tonight. All the original ideas, all the new badassery is all independent stuff.
Badassery?
Oh, you mean like the new Reunion from Hell 2 starring Lydia Manson and Lisa Wilcox?
Bam!
Shameless plug.
Hell yeah. Hey, fuck yeah.
Well, go ahead. Tell us about that. Good segue there. Yes, I see there's two months doing a podcast.
We got nine minutes and 46 seconds left. I can squeeze this one in.
Get it in. We have as long as you need.
No, it's just, it's a Christmas slasher. So dashing through the snow with, I don't know, scissors in his hands. Santa goes to kill. Where he goes, we won't know. I don't know. Hopefully there's like a Christmas tree through somebody's stomach. That would be a pretty awesome kill, I'm not going to lie.
No, sure.
But I actually just got, again, I started off with like a really itty bitty role, and now I just got promoted on the second lead actress in the film. So I'm pretty like nervous. This is going to be like my biggest role yet in a film. So
that's awesome.
The director, Hayden, he told me I'm going to pretty much be in every scene from the beginning to the end of the film. So, you know, no pressure.
Yeah, I was going to say no pressure, man. Now, is this, again, just somebody that you had met through, you know, just this person knows that person, and then you just kind of meet them through, you know, your own contacts that you got that role?
I had saw that, like I've mentioned before, I work for Hellfire Radio. One of our other podcasters, Mike Katz, I saw that he had posted that he was going to be in the film. And I also noticed that another actor friend of mine, Steve Hileski, who is actually in, you know, The House That Eats Flesh with me, we're actually going to be filming next month in Arizona, a film called Alibi Together. He's also in the film as well. So I just like randomly shot a message out to the director and I was like, hey, you know, like, are you still casting or whatever? And he was like, oh, can you like tell me just, well, just a little bit about yourself. So I did. And he was like, oh, you know, I think you would be really great for one of the main characters in Hell Fury. I mean, like, is she one of the main characters? I didn't know she was a main character. Now there's even more pressure. Not just only bringing a cartoon character to life. But, you know, he was it's just a small character. He's like, I really like your attitude and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you know, absolutely. I'd love to do it. Then I had done a podcast episode just about basically how the industry is and like mental health and all that stuff. And he had messaged me and he goes, you know, after watching your podcast and everything, he's like, I'm just really impressed with you. And he wanted to expand on my character. He was like, I'm going to be making her part bigger in the film. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like, thank you so much. And Hayden and I had begun messaging and we, you know, we're running an Indiegogo because, you know, obviously it's very hard to make independent films. You have to rely on your fan bases a lot just to get the funding together. So we were trying to come up with new ideas for the Indiegogo. They just put up an 8x10 of yours truly. So if anybody is interested in that,
you can with the Santa hat.
Yeah. So you can get a signed 8x10 of me. So then, you know, somebody, I don't know, bad luck for them, good luck for me. One of the leads dropped out and he was like, you know, I think that you would really fit into this role just as good as you were fitting in for Claire. So he's like, if you would like to take on, you know, one of these lead roles, he's like, I would love for you to do that. And I was like,
wow,
absolutely. Yeah. So I stepped on up. So I'll get to be working side by side with Lisa. So that's going to be great. So here I am. And we're just, you know, we're pushing the Indiegogo right now. We have a bunch of new perks that just got dropped. So if anybody is interested in going ahead and pre-ordering their Blu-ray, their DVD, you could be a producer on the film. You can get a shout out from Lisa. You can get my 8x10. You go ahead and get your Reunion from Hell to Christmas ornament for your Christmas tree. So lots of different stuff that's up there. Make sure you go ahead and check it out. Even if you aren't interested in getting a perk and just making a donation, you can do that just as well. Thank you. We appreciate every little bit of help.
And that's the thing. That's the big thing. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, when it comes to independent filmmaking, which doesn't always, but most of the time includes a very small budget. I mean, but not always. There have been bigger budget. You know, I mean, actually, E.T. was considered a low budget film when that came out, and that was who knows how many million dollars when that came out. Mm-hmm. But that was, you know, in the scope of Hollywood, that was E.T. was considered a low budget film. But independent, you know, of the corporate stranglehold, where you can't go this way with your creativity. I think that allows directors, screenwriters, actors, actresses, it allows everyone involved in the filmmaking process to just let loose, because there's nobody, you can't do that. There is no ceiling in independent filmmaking.
When I was in Dallas shooting Passages of Nexus, I'm friends with the director, Alex Nigo, and I'm going over my lines and I'm just like, I would never say these things. I'm like, are you okay if I were? Oh, thank you, Tom. Yes. For those who don't know, every Sunday, our star meter on IMDb resets based on how many views you get on your IMDb that past week. The lower your number is, that means the better you are on IMDb, which makes it look better to casting directors and directors and so on. Gotcha. So far.
Yeah,
so we need more people to look on our IMDb. So thank you, Tom, for that. But Alex was really great with letting me rewrite a few of my lines just to make it sound so it flowed better coming out of my mouth. I'm like, we still kept the essence of what, you know, the dialogue was, but it just sounded more natural coming from me because it would have been more how I would have said it, you know. And had I been on like a big budget film, I never would have been able to just rewrite my lines like that. But since I was literally just sitting with Alex, my director, we just like sat down and rewrote it because it was his script. He was the writer. So he wrote and directed it. So we just got to change it right there and in there.
That's awesome.
Right. Awesome. That's badass. That's cool. Yeah. See, that's kind of what I'm doing is I'm telling my actors and everybody, you know, like the script, it's more just guidelines, the dialogue. Yeah. Like I want you to say it how you would say it, like convey it how you would actually convey it. Like, I don't want you to feel like you're just reading from a fucking book or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, because like, no offense, you don't know how to write like a woman would talk, and I wouldn't know how to write like how a man would talk, you know, like.
Exactly.
Which is exactly, in case in point, Lydia, would be exactly why Deborah Hill wrote most of the female dialogue in the original Halloween. And she wrote that because she understood how teenage girls would say things.
Exactly.
And it made it sound so genuine, like they were just talking, you know, like, oh, I could picture, because girls at that time were saying these things, you know. And it took Deborah Hill having to write a lot of that, you know, and then of course John Carpenter writing a lot of, you know, some other things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And that's why I take improv classes twice a week, because a lot of times on set, it really helps me, because sometimes you just have to improv a scene, you know? So
I do that every week at Sundays. Mm-hmm. At 6 p.m. Eastern. I call it the Night Living
Podcast. I take my improv classes over Zoom, so I don't even have to leave my own house.
I know, right? I mean, I do it every week. I think I'm getting pretty damn good at it. I'm not sure.
I should be paying you for this.
I'm Jesus, right? We'll talk after the show. Hold on. Lydia, I do want to thank you. We're about at a time. I do want to thank you.
No, thank you for joining us.
And I you know, encourage everyone to go check out Just the Deets. And that's over there on YouTube. When this is all posted, there will be links for, which will be in just probably within an hour or two after we finish up here. Everything will be out there. The audio version, which you can catch, you know, on Spotify and Stitcher over there, nightlivingdreads.com. And then also you can rewatch our lovely faces.
I know. Look at them.
Look
at
them.
Who doesn't want to look at that? I'm trying
to. Who doesn't want to look at that all the time, right?
Who doesn't want to look? Hey, look at that. Look at that.
I know. Yeah, we get some good bullshit artists on here for his guests, don't we?
I would never. Yeah,
before we go, I got to say that growing up, I was a huge fan of Extreme Ghostbusters. So I cannot fucking wait to see what you do.
Oh god, in this. The pressure is on.
I'm super excited. I think you're gonna do that now, dude. You're fucking perfect for the role. I think you're gonna fucking nail it.
No pressure.
I cannot wait. Cannot fucking wait.
Dun 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 dun. I better stop before we get like
thanks again for
you have no idea how Facebook is gonna be like,
we do not own the rights to this music.
I know we're gonna have to mute some of your shit. It's just going dun 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 dun.
Ding ding. It's okay. I added in the ding ding. We're good.
We're good, right? That's not the same. Lydia, thank you. Thank you, dear. I don't have to say bye to anybody. Usually we just throw the guests in the backstage for a second, say bye, and then we call it a night, or we go and talk to you guys, but I don't have to do that because I've already done that. I've already said everything that I need to say, I think, pretty much. Do you want to throw out any websites? Does House That Eats Flesh, any of these projects, have a website? We will get the Indiegogo links. Get them to me.
Yeah,
I'll get
absolutely.
Them out
I'll
in
them
the
to
description. Yeah.
So for the House That Eats Flesh, we have our official Movie Grove page on Facebook. And then we are on Instagram. It is the House That Eats Flesh official. And then go ahead, follow me on Instagram, LydiaManson88. Go ahead, follow me on TikTok, LydiaManson88. Go ahead, follow me on Facebook, Lydia Manson. And that's about it. You know, I'm pretty simple. I don't tweet.
Awesome.
So
I know. I don't either. I mean,
I don't Twitch unless I'm going to, I guess, the Waffle House.
God damn.
It's a circle. I brought it around.
I know, man. That is awesome. With that, if you are joining us late, we're just going to end the show with the trailer for House That Eats Flesh. Again, Lydia, thank you. Just hang out.
Thank
for
you so
a
much.
Second. And hey, we'll be back next week, 6 p.m. Eastern. I don't know who the hell we're going to have on next time after seeing this. Who knows? They're probably kicking the doors down now. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Have a great start to your week. And thank you again, Lydia. Hang on, guys.
We're all killers, aren't we?
Is it our nature to kill?
We
kill.
Animals.
We
kill
nature.
We
kill
each other.
We
kill.
Believe.
someone here has a very dirty mouth. Someone might be careful and might get that tongue cut out, little girl.